have been discussing, you can see this topic about, Sakin and Isroi, Behemalo Isroi, this debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, and the moderation of both of their shitos. You can see that this is a massive, massive topic about chazaka, and needs to be coordinated, of course, as we've been trying to do a little bit with the sugyas in the beginning of Nida and the sugya in the end of Kiddushin, and of course many other places in Shas. And of course it also needs to be conjoined with the next topic, as I said, the makor of chazaka and the discussion of the two types of rovs and the relationship between rov and chazaka, the sugya from Yud Amud Beis to Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and again Od Chazon Lamoed, hopefully to do that. But we're in the middle of trying to develop, I guess, two yesodos, at least what I'm suggesting, which stand alone, but also could be that they overlap in part. Certainly they can be alternative explanations of some of the phenomena that we are encountering. Namely, one idea that when you have multiple chazakos, we'll call it broadly the question of multiple chazakos or tarti l'reisa in some cases, or suffik l'mafreya in other cases. They're not all the same. Part of the question is whether these are identical or not. But when you have more than one potential relevant go-to chazaka, right, and they are in a state of conflict, either directly or indirectly in terms of applying the implications, how do you handle that? And how do you look at that? And one approach is, we'll call it the quantitative approach, is to simply mostly assume the application or relevance of all the candidates, of all the various, factions. Again, look at it as a big war. There are multiple, weapons or multiple, mechanisms, that are being applied. And then to figure out, who gains the advantage, both quantitatively and qualitatively in those interactions. And then there should be a lot more fluidity, in these issues. Now, to the question about, chazaka de mikara, chazaka de hashta, the impact of a reyesa, what about the chazaka of the taharos, and so on. And so what constitutes ein safek maltimide vadai? Is that something that depends on, a relative strength of the tlios, or is it always where there's an absolute stira and a chazaka muchletes, you're burdened to change, like the Balamar? All those kind of questions, according to this perspective, would be a little more fluid. We'd probably have rules, if you study the history of war or what's successful, when you combine multiple variable factors, certain combinations are, certain factors are more impactful than others, and certain, combinations are more effective, than others. So that's one way to look at the whole thing. And then you're looking at, this big kind of cholent, and, even though you have rules, probably the flexibility of those rules is going to be greater. So if you have like a stronger reyesa and a weaker reyesa, more formidable, chazaka de mikara, a less formidable chazaka, or a stronger chazaka de hashta, things of that sort. What I've been suggesting, I guess, is two other perspectives, both of which are much more, formal issues, but they're also pragmatic, once you get past the initial formality. One is the idea that the, application or relevance of different forces and factors itself depends on, how you look at the process. And that's where, once you've taken certain actions, so whether it's in terms of the Makora Safek, and that itself can have more than one meaning, the Mechayev or the Makora Safek, that also can be two different things. The Mechayev implies a more halachic stature, a more legal formal halachic question. The Makor HaSafek could be something more pragmatic. But either way, that's one issue that becomes very important. And more particularly, once a halachic action, you know, takes place that affects a status quo ante, so then that becomes the Makor HaSafek, or that compromises the Cheftza in such a way that the previous Chazaka becomes mostly either disabled or irrelevant, etc. Meaning the idea of Vadai Noga, Vadai Shachad, Vadai Tava, or at least that the Chazaka will now zero in on the status of the transforming action rather than the status of the object being transformed. So in some cases, this is obvious. You know, like if you just have a chazaka to mikara, so you could always say, well, you have a chazaka to mikara. So unless you know 100% that the maisa that you're doing, let's say the shechita, the tvila, there could always be something wrong that you don't know about. Let's say even if there's no reisa, right? And maybe a little bit that might be an issue for example, for avuna and shechita, like the rishonim here. Again, we're not going to be able to, unfortunately, to detail all the shitas about Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, as well as the compromise, because we just don't have time today, but I'd love to do it at some point. But for example, the Ramban's view in Rav Huna, the Ramban, the Ra, is very extreme. It's that, you know, even if Nevda, even if you didn't get a chance to check the Sakin, right, there's still a problem. There's still a problem. meaning, you could say, Chazaka de Bikor is so powerful that, you know, any pu'ula or maisa, you know, that might not 100% or that we don't know 100% is effective against it is still going to be ineffective to override it and overturn it. So it's only if we did, you know, a bedika on the sakin, you know, that we 100%, you know, could eat the meat. Mostly we don't think that. A lot of Rishonim don't think that even in Rav Huna, and certainly we don't paskin that way. I mean, if there's no reisa, if you didn't do the bedika and it turned out maybe you should do the bedika, that's the Rambam and other people's view. We'll hopefully get a chance to speak about that. But the point I'm trying to make is you could have said, oh, these, it's like a chazaka de mikar is a fortress. Meaning, unless, you know, it's always formidable, always needs to be overcome and overridden. But mostly we don't pask in that way. Mostly what we say is that, you know, once you did a shechita, even if, you know, there could be things that undercut that shechita, but all things being equal, the cheskas shechita is motzi from the cheskas behema. And that's because vadei noga, right? That's the makor safek now, and that maisa as a legal maisa already rendered cheskas behema moot. Those are two formulations we were discussing. And the same with regard to cheskas taros, as we discussed, you know, in the one is about the past and the other is about the application going forward, etc. So then the bigger issue, you know, once you take that more general view, is, you know, navigating, you know, the subtleties of that change. Because if it's really a questionable change, as if it's a typical naga and a typical shachat and a typical taval, you know, it's a typical shach, etc. So then, fine, that's how we paskin for the reasons that we discussed. But if there now comes some question about it, so do we just, you know, say, well, you know, back to the drawing board, chazaka de mikara, or does it still get resolved in it? When yes, when not? Does it weaken chazaka de mikara, even if it doesn't completely neutralize it in this case? There are so many options to explain this. Okay, but what I was trying to portray is that basically there could be a huge difference between situations where, you know, we're confident that there was a naga, a shachat, you know, a taval, and the question is to resolve the details of its hechsher or psul, as opposed to, or the default is that he did it until we're not sure, until we know that he didn't do it. It's also a little bit same effect, but could be different cases, right? As opposed to saying that gufa, the question is whether or not there was a you know, naga, shachat, etc., legally or not. And that's where you get into all sorts of factors that will determine, you know, al pi din, you know, what's a, what I call the maisa b'safek asafek maisa, whether it's chasar vasoi, the quality of the reisa, the nature of the, you know, particular disqualification. You know, again, there could be a hafkas a maisa, there could be a maisa, you know, but it's but maisa shchita, but bipsul, and there could be, you know, things in between that. For example, trefa is a great example, as we've discussed. Let's say you're shochet betrefa, right? So that's an interesting question, you know, particularly. We discussed, you know, Reb Chaim's view that trefa is a chisaron of heter shchita, but we also know that trefa, legabe tuma, right, there is a maisa shchita, which is motzi midei nevela. And the Gemara here, of course, talks about, you know, safek, you know, shihia, safek drasa, safek ikur, here on the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph. That's exactly what the Gemara talks about. We'll get to that in just a second. So it's an interesting issue, an interesting problem. The Gemara in Daf Tes Amud Aleph, you know, behemah b'chayav b'cheskas yisra omed esanchi vada l'cha shehu heter, you know, but then the same Gemara has the other case, and that is that if you, you know, if you did the shechita, and it seems fine, then it's kshera ad shivada l'cha shehu treifa. So it's interesting how that Gemara is understood by different Rishonim, and it's relevant. So again, if I were to ask you, like, let's say you have a suffek treifa, you know, is that a maisa b'suffek or a suffek maisa? That's a very tricky question. It's a tricky question in light of Reb Chaim, because if we're interested in shechita and achila, right, so do we mean that it's not a maisa shechita legabe achila? Or do we really only mean that there's no heter? And what is koveya suffek maisa or maisa b'suffek? That it's a heter, and that it's a halachic action in that respect, or that it's physically a shechita? That's how much do we care about the particular nature of trefa when we have this question, or and the fact that it's, say, that it's motzi midei nevela, you know, legabe tuma, you know, even though it's not matir lachila. If you're interested in matir lachila, does the motzi midei tuma part of it impress you vis-a-vis it being a maisa bat, or no, vis-a-vis achila, it's not a maisa at all, or it's a mice, you know, it's not the maisa which is, you know, which qualifies to be motzi midei cheskas akademikara. Everybody with me? Okay. So I think it's very telling, and this is what I was suggesting for a whole bunch of things, but even in the language of the Rishonim themselves, when the Gemara says, Sakin Troy Behemelohi Troy, so Rashi, you may be actually getting to this. It's hard to say, but what Rashi emphasizes on Yud Amud Aleph is that kiven delo begufe delo begufe mamish yalid. Again, just to remind everybody, like Tosis already points out, like, why do we care? Right? You know, from a pragmatic point of view. But of course, what we were trying to say is that from a legal point of view, this could be one of the issues that subtly dictates whether to do with a maisa b'safek or safek maisa. So the way Rashi says is, kiven delo begufe mamish yalid ela bedavar acher lo dami letfila. It's true, it isn't dummy latvila where the chisaron is in the maisa tvila on the body. Right? Pagam. So it sounds like Rashi may be saying what we're saying, which is that because the makor hasafek is in something which is on the second level, more extraneous, therefore, we consider this legabe, this din at least, vadei naga, vadei taval, vadei shachat, really. You know, besafek shachat baofen shematir or not. And I think that's certainly what Rabbeinu Gershom is saying. And Rabbeinu Gershom al-Attar actually invokes the Gemara on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, which also shows that he reads it that way. Behema, sakat esroi, behema lo esroi, says Rabbeinu Gershom, kolomar de ifkim, Ubehema atzma hoisa shkuta shapir. Okay, now again, that's not so pashut. Because if he's using a socket which is pagum, then it's not, then it isn't really true that the behema is vadai shkuta, is it? But if al pidin, the question of shkita b'sak and pagum is viewed as a shkita, but not necessarily a kosher one, as opposed to a non-shkita, which would have been, had been a din in the behema, then we understand what he's saying. And he actually invokes, he says, mishim hachi amrinan, after they change the girsa here a little bit, the becheskas hetra medesan shivadil chabam and nitrafa. So he actually quotes the Gemara in the Tesam and Aleph. Some Rishonim understand the Gemara in Tesam and Aleph, the difference between Suffolk Shchita and Suffolk Trefa as being connected to the Tliya. Like if you look at the Chachmei Sfarad on Daf Tesam and Aleph, this is something we didn't get to do, unfortunately. We did a little bit in the beginning of the year, but some of them say, oh, because the Tliya, is the Tliya Lifnei, the Reyesa, in other words, is Lifnei Ashchita or La'achar Ashchita? That's the difference. But the Rambam, I think, has a different possible shot. The Rambam might just say, because the Rambam has a famous shita, which we also discussed earlier in the year, and that is that there are different levels of trefa. And that drasa is the one that's mefurish bakra. Therefore, safek drasa is l'chumra, as opposed to the other trefos, it's part of perkei hakushchita halacha gimel. Again. So this is an interesting question. In general, the Rambam's, of course, it's connected to the Rambam's famous view of Divrei Sofrim. Again, I take the view that all the trefos are daraisa. But the one that's mefurish bakra, drasa, suffik is l'chumra, and the others, suffik are l'kula. Okay, is this connected to the Rambam's general view that daraisa, suffik, is typically l'kula? Maybe, very possibly. I think that's part of the story. But again, this idea that about suffik drusa being different than the other sveikos, to say two things about it, Maybe, again, the ones from Furish Bakra, that's that part is the Shita also. Maybe it shows that the different trefos have a different effect on the Shita. Maybe the one that's Mefurish Bakra, the Uber trefa, is a hafka of Shita, at least the heter achila of Shita. Maybe it's not even Legabe achila considered to be a Maisa Shkita, or at least Legabe Safek. I mean, Safek Drasa, right, is not Vadai Naga, or Vadai Shachat, or Vadai Tava. Whereas maybe the others, right, we look at differently. It could be that that's Gufa the Havamina of the Gemara here on Yudam and Aleph, and then I think the Ramban does say this, not the way the Rambam says it, but when the Gemara here says "Meisve shachat as a beshet achach nishpita gargeres ksheira nishpita gargeres achach shachat as a beshet psula shachat as a beshet v'nimsas gargeres shmuta v'eni odem konim shchita nishmita im la'achar shchita nishmita zei meisve v'amre kol safik shchita paso kol safik b'shchita la'suye mai lav la'suye kagavna. The Gemara says lo la'suye Suffolk Shaha, Suffolk Doras. So the Ramban is already bothered by the obvious question, which is, why did the Gemara think that Suffolk Shaha, Suffolk Doras, Suffolk Shaha, Suffolk Doras, right, is different than what we had before? Right. So again, it could be you draw the line in different places, right? And the maskana seems to be that we treat them the same. But maybe the havamina was that one is a hafka in the, you know, or one, the trefa comes from the maisa shkita, whereas in the others, it's a psul in the chalosa shkita, whatever you want to call it, but not that there's an absence of chatichas you know, hasimanim. So this becomes an open question. I'm just saying that in light of this, the whole approach, the repercussions in terms of all the applications, you know, tvila, chatzitza, the role of the mikvah, the role of chatzitza, safek chatzitza, trefa and shchita, all sorts of other pugam, sakin and shchita, you know, etc., and so on across the, you know, across the board in all the different applications. This becomes an important question and issue. But I do think Rabbeinu Gershom is getting to that. I think that's what Rabbeinu Gershom is saying about the Gemara on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, all things, you know, being equal. So I think the Rambam will interpret the Gemara, maybe, in terms of Safek Lekula, Safek Lechumra, the Gemara in Tes Amud Aleph, with the exception of Durasa. Bali Tosis in terms of when the Reyesa existed. But Rabbeinu Gershom is saying it's about Safek Trefa versus Safek Shechita. And that's different. Either way, this distinction, and I'm then suggestive that goes to the heart of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, you know, Shema Ba'or Nifkam of Rav Huna in one direction, and Ein Safek Motzim Devadai for Rav Chisda in the other. Again, this is only true, I think, according to some Farshim. Some of the Rishonim understand, you know, both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda in very different ways, as we've discussed. Rav Huna, since we're not, probably not going to get to it, but as we discussed already, the relationship between Shema Ba'or Nifkama, how likely it is, or again, for me, I'm just much more comfortable, because I think it is unlikely to begin with. I'm much more comfortable with the idea that it's a legal concept, you know, that when there's a Reyesa, that makes the whole Shechita more susceptible to Safek to begin with. However, in the Rishonim, if you look at the Ramban and the Ra'ah and the Ran in particular, and there even the Rajba holds this somewhat in Rav Huna, Shema Ba'or Nifkama is considered to be a real practical problem. Right, the Ra'ah and the Ramban say that for Rav Huna, Nevda, right, is, if the Sakin is Nevad, the Shechita is Psula. That's the Chiddush they have in Rav Huna. And they say that because it's like Shibar Ba'atzamos Kalayom. They assume that Shibar Ra'ah says is Shibar Ba'atzamos Kalayom, there's no Reyesa. We usually don't understand it that way. We understand that Shibar Ba'atzamos Kalayom, there's a very compelling Tliya that, you know, and maybe that's even the Pshat according to some Rishon of Vain, Safek Motzim B'dei Vadai. This Vadai would do it, you know, so why would you assume, you know, even though it comes after the Safek, which is atypical, and it's not a stira minei ubei, as the Balamor points out, which makes it atypical, but at least it's a, you know, the Tliya Lekula is a kind of Ava, or a very strong Rove, if not a Vadai, you know, as opposed to the, but the Ra'ah actually formulates in the Bedek Abayis as there's no Reyesa, the stronger. I think Mechudash, maybe the Ra'ah Lishitaso, you know, Kol, you know, not just Rove Mitzuyin Eitzo Shechita, Kol Mitzuyin, but he thinks that these categories get helped by their legal status, not just by poll numbers. Anyways, so the Ra'ah compares Nevda to Shibar Atzamos for Rav Huna. Okay, I wouldn't have done that, because at the end of the day, there's still some Reyesa. He says, no, there's no Reyesa. It's Nevda. But Rav Huna really holds that even in the, you know, even in the absence of Reyesa, right, the Chazaka de Mi'ikara is just so powerful. Where I would prefer to say it is, when there's a Reyesa, that this would be only if there's a Reyesa, right? It's always Safek Shachad, not Shachad B'Safek. Okay? And that's maybe goof of what they're arguing about. Even the Rajba, who doesn't go so far in terms of Nevda and Rav Huna, says that if the very comparison in the Gemara of Rav Huna to the Chatzitza case implies that Shema Ba'or Nifkam is some sort of a real serious consideration. Because we are comparing it to a case of Chatzitza, right, where there's some sort of real Reyesa. So even the Rajba holds that way. Okay. So there are debates how far to push. But I just think an easier way to explain Ravuna is the way that we've suggested, just as in the opposite direction. Like, how much does Rav Chisda, how much stock does Rav Chisda really put into the or, and then sorry, into the etzem hamifrekes, you know, being the actual source of the shvira? So again, this is a whole debate between the Ra'ah and the Rajba, you know, and whether or not, you know, it has to be Rishumo Nikar, you know, how much it banged. You know that it banged into the Ran, the Ramban. You know that it banged into the, you know, do you even have to know? And do you have to know or have felt or have done the Shechita in such a way, you know, that this becomes likely? That's, again, according to my understanding of Rav Chisda, if I'm right, that Rav Huna and Rav Chisda represent two extremes. And what they're really arguing about, mostly at least, 90%, is this legal question about Safek Maisa, Maisa B'Safek. So, of course, I've tried to explain with this Ain Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, you know, and all these other things. But one of the things I'm explaining is that just like Rav Huna doesn't have to put so much stock in Shema B'Or Nifkam L'Chumra, so too Rav Chisda doesn't need to put so much stock in, you know, Shema, not Shema, or Vadai B'Etzem HaMifrekes, you know, Pogam L'Kula. So partly it's 2 days in the Gemara, because later on the Gemara here, with the, if we could just have somebody read that just to get that. Ellie. That Ellie there?
Yeah.
How come it says Yechiel?
Oh, I was having some technical difficulties, so I'm borrowing my brother's laptop.
Ah, okay. See, I noticed these things. Okay, tell Yechiel we appreciate his assistance. He gets credit also for helping us out here. If you could just read the end till the end of the Gemara, at least we'll get it on the record. But that's, again, there's so much more to talk about, but I want to get back to the other perspective in a minute. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. From Meitvei, or
I think I did the Meitvei, right?
Oh, okay.
So just the Umayshna.
Okay, so Umayshna from the top of Yud Amud Bet.
Yeah, but that's actually connected to that. But so you could actually say Vehilchasak. Go ahead.
Okay, so Vehilchata Kavatei de Rav Huna Kishaloshiber Ba Etzem, Vehilchata Kavatei de Rav Chisda Kishashiber Ba Etzem.
Oh, so here I just want to point out again, I don't have time to do this, but this is what I was wondering the other day. This distinction between Shiba Ba Etzem and Lo Shiba Ba Etzem, I think, could be understood in one of two ways. It also does depend on how we've understood Rav Huna and Rav Chisda until now, obviously. So let me say it this way. If we understood Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, you know, that they are arguing about how much weight also to assign to Shema Ba'or Nifkema or Shema Be, you know, Etzem HaMifrekas Nifkema, or the thresholds of what's needed, you know, to change things, you know, in this mix of chazakos competing to be machriya, however you want to say it. So then the idea that there's a middle shita, you know, and that is about, you know, afilu about shibar atzamos kolayom, and even then, by the way, there are debates about what that exactly includes, what that means exactly, the parameters of that, you know, makes, you know, it just, you throw it in there, meaning, oh, you know, you need more support for the chazaka de mikara if you're going to paskin like Rav Huna. You know, and this tliya is so strong that, you know, it doesn't give enough support. Or you need more support for the kula of Rav Chisda if you're going to say, you know, lekula, you know, shema, not shema, or kimad vadai, or toleb, the etzem hamifrekes, you know, just not going to be enough. However, if we take the view that Rav Huna and Rav Chisda mostly are debating, you know, about either the strength of Chazaka de Meikara, or, you know, what it takes to be a Maisa B'Safek as opposed to a Safek Maisa, or both. By the way, I mean, again, some of the Achronim in Below Aroim here says, what, Rav Chisda doesn't believe in the Chazaka de Meikara? And others like, oh, Rav Huna believes the Chazaka de Meikara and Kala Tarakula, like, is stronger than other people? What is Rav Huna and Rav Chisda's view about Chazaka de Meikara, Lekula and Lechumra, and Kol HaTarakula is something to look at. How much of the heavy lifting in this sugya for Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is done by their perspective on Chazaka de Mikara, and how much is done by their views on, you know, or Nifkamath, or and or as opposed to, you know, the Etzem Hamifrekes. These are the issues. Okay. So what I'm saying is, if you make the chiluk, so this is a whole question, you know, what are Rav Huna and Rav Chisda hold about Chazaka de Mikara? But if you take the view that, at least in part, that Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, maybe because of that, you know, how much you need to override, or maybe in their own right, how they understand Safik Shchita and Shchita and Shchita B'sak and Pagum and all these things. So then the distinction between Shiber Atzamos Kol Hayom and not can be looked at in two ways. One is that you throw it into, it's the same idea, meaning it's a very, it's a moderation of Rav Huna and it's a moderation of Rav Chisda, one or the other or both. We're still saying the same yesod, of Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vadai, you know, just now it's stronger, makes more sense. You know, Ein Motzin Michazaka de Miikara, because it's really still a Safek, just that, you know, Shema Bar Nifkama is enough to really be Matil a Safek on the Maisa Shchita, you know, all things being equal. Certainly if there's no Reyesa, you know, and even if there is a Reyesa, maybe. Unless, you know, and that's why these other factors, you know, come into the mix, meaning they help to reinforce, you know, to kind of moderate, you know, the applications of these dinim. But essentially, we're dealing with the same halacha. But you could say that, no, if we were dealing with the fundamental argument about, you know, koach hazaka de mikara, or what it takes to be considered a maisa shchita the safek as opposed to a safek maisa shchita, then in Achanami we would go with the extremes. Okay, maybe not the Ramban's extreme of Rav Huna, but at least, you know, pretty much. Or maybe not the total extreme of Rav Huna, but, you know, maybe at least you have to have a Roshem, or, you know, that we know that it got cut or something. Okay. But if we're going to the compromise, maybe what we're really saying is, no, that's not the pshat here. The pshat here is to assess the tliya, right, vis-a-vis, and again, I don't know if you're more of Huna or more of Chisda here, but what I'm saying is then there could be other qualitative differences between the compromise view and the original views of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Meaning, would you say mid Rav Huna nishma to the psak, or mid Rav Chisda nishma to the psak, which some Rishonim say, or not? Or does the fact that we have moderated show that we've moved away qualitatively from this purely abstract legal idea, and therefore there are other nafkamina as well? Okay, let's continue. That's something to look for. Again, I'm going to have to suffice with, I guess, broad guidelines for the moment, because we can't finish up the details. Okay. Ellie?
Yeah.
So that's just on that one line. Hilchos HaKavasid Rav Huna Bishul. One other, a linguistic note to what I just said, which is, of course, the two lines in the Gemara here, Ellie, what do you think about them?
Like the lines of the Hilchata?
Yeah, the two Hilchasas. Just a linguistic comment, not a substantive one. Just something that struck me, especially in light of how I was explaining it. A comment. Ha'ara.
Maybe the fact that it says Vehilchata, like the way that it presents it, suggests that it's not such a fundamental difference from the way that Rav Huna and Rav Chisda were originally saying?
Yeah, so I think so. In what way? Meaning what's striking, I think, is the how it's superfluous, of course. Right? Now, the Gemara could have said, and conceptually it might be different, we paskin like Rav Huna, but. Right? Or it could have said, we paskin like Rav Chisda, but. Is there any difference if I, you know, kishaloshi bear, you know, kolayon? Then I'm saying that we, mimela, that means that we paskin like Rav Chisda the other way. the need to repeat this twice, again, it could just be like the rhythm of the Gemara. It's a little bit of a, you know, a flourish, you know, one way or another, right? Or is the Gemara trying to say with this, you know, either that we don't paskin either like Rav Huna or Rav Chisda, right? Like I just said, that there's no midah, no midah Rav Huna nishmala chacham, and no midah Rav Chisda nishmala chacham. In this, in introducing this additional factor, we have, you know, injected a new or a different, a third perspective, right? But in the other degree also, we could have said, like, let's say we're keeping, we're just moderating them. So does it mean Rav Huna's right except, but he's really, really right? And the exception is just an exception because it's going too far, you don't have enough support for it. Or vice versa, Rav Chisda's really right, you know, except, not in the extreme. But the way the Gemara formulates it is, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda are both on to something. Meaning, shchita b'sakin, you know, sakin suffik peguma, right? You know, is sometimes, you know, a pure maisa shchita b'safek, and sometimes, you know, a safek maisa shchita. They're both right, and depending on which one, we're endorsing their view, but it's kai gavna. That's different than saying we paskin like one, but not in the extreme. Technically, in terms of like outlining the shitos, if you wanted to save ink, you could have just said Hilchos HaKarav Huna under these conditions, or Hilchos HaKarav Chisda under these conditions. But by saying both, it's the same conditions, linguistically, what you might be conveying in a very subtle way, right, is that, you know, both shitas yesh dvarim bego, and the line in terms of subtlety between what is a maisa b'safek, a safek maisa, vade noga, vade shachad, vade taval, you know, really depends much more than you think, you know, on the details and on the tliyas. All right? Ellie, you agree?
Just very practically, doesn't the Gemara use that language to flesh out Rav Huna and the Rav Chisda shitas? Meaning this language shows that they each argue on unequivocally, and we're choosing from each.
You mean that they argue in the extreme? Yeah, but we know that already, don't we know that already? I mean, the din of Rav Chisda wasn't Bishashiva Kalayo, and the din of Rav Huna wasn't Bishaloshiva Kalayo.
The Gemara at this point seems to think that you might have assumed that they're not arguing unequivocally. That's like why it says like, oh, it's Michlal, the reason for the Hilchaza.
I mean, that's going to be another explanation for it. I thought in the original, one second, let me just look for a minute. And he says, Shema be'etzem nifkama, assuming that Shema be'etzem nifkama means etzem ha'mifrekes, but not that it's going on Shibra kolayom, so it's already clear in the first formulation that neither is talking about Shibra kolayom, isn't it? So now we're saying, if it's Shibar Kolayom, right, then we paskin like Rav Chisda. If it's not Shibar Kolayom, then we paskin like Rav Huna. They're saying it's still superfluous. And it is, I think, implicit, unless you think it just wasn't, you know, implicit enough.
Yeah, perhaps. And I thought maybe there's also a difference between, even if we would have said Shibar Atamas Kolayom, that still might... the calculation might be different between when you're shechting different animals.
What do you mean? Like the next point.
Exactly. So meaning the Gemara went by highlighting the extreme that no matter what.
We're not up to that yet. In the Gemara. We'll get that in a second. Oh, by the way, just to Agav, here you have a famous Rashi. They don't come so often. You know, a little personal element in Rashi. Right, where he says, Al Yodi Hayamaisa, right, Vahorali Rabbeinu Yaakov Rabbi Yakar, Ba'of L'Isser. This is one of Rashi's famous Rabbeim in Ashkenaz. You know, Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yakar. He speaks about him in a bunch of tshuvas, you know, as well. So, I don't know if Avram is with us. Is he? I don't see him. Okay, I was going to make a Rabbi Yaakov reference, but okay. Good. Then comes the next Gemara. Go ahead, Ellie, just to finish that one off.
Okay, so Michlal de Rav Chista?
Yeah.
Michlal de Rav Chista, afagav de lo shiber ba etzem, ela b'may ifkim. Ema b'etzem de mafreket.
Maybe one said, this is what we have it for. Could be. It could be. Yeah, go ahead. Ema b'etzem de mafreket sifkim. I just thought it was implicit already. Okay, then comes Hava Uvda. Go ahead.
Hava Uvda, v'taref Rav Yosef ad tlesar chivta. Come on. Kirav Huna v'afim v'maita.
What happened?
So there was a case where a person shechted, I guess, like 13 animals, and then afterwards it was found that it was nifkam.
Yeah. Go ahead. So then it says, come on, Kirav Huna v'afim v'maita.
And then says, lo kirav chista ulevar mikamaisa.
So that shita, ulevar mikamaisa, means what?
So we say that he was posel all of the shchitot after the first one, because if we assume that it was damaged by the mafreket of the first animal, then the first shchita would be okay.
Right. So this, of course, is an important freeze-frozen moment for Rav Chisda. And the question is how seriously we take it. Why so, Ellie? Because it means that Rav Chisda is taking somewhat seriously what?
The Nishbara,
as opposed to just being a Makil who will be Tola. I don't mean this in an ideological way. I mean in this particular case, obviously. Now, there are two ways to look at Rav Chisda, just like there are two ways to look at Rav Huna. Right? One is he really gives credence to the Tlia, you know, he finds it sufficiently compelling, both practically and in terms of the legal threshold required. The other is, you still have to say that, even go to the other. The other is that, you know, he's fundamentally Makil because he thinks that the Maisa is fundamentally a good Maisa until you prove it not to be. So again, if, go ahead, why should I say that? Ellie, go ahead. Meaning, you explain.
I guess the Gemara here would be indicating, as Rebbe said, that he really does take it seriously that we're totally on the mafreket. And it's not just that he's being makil, because if he was being makil, then he should be makil for seemingly more of the animals.
Exactly. And that's why Rashi, if you look at the Rashi here, he's uncomfortable with it. Right? Look at the Rashi. Lo karav chizda.
Lo karav chizda. Umishum etzem mafreket de kamaita tarfinhu lechul hu batraita.
Wait. Is that the right one? No. Lo karav chizda, the sphere lay.
Lo karav. Sorry. Okay. I was looking at the wrong one. Lo karav chizda, sphere lay de lo chayish leor.
Like Rafuna. Umatsuk bedika.
Umatrich bedika, she'im timtza paguma yitak nena, v'yihu achronot kasheiro im harishona. D'ilo badak v'shachit le le'idach, umashkach la paguma, chayshinan l'mafreket d'kamaita, v'asirei batraita. V'let le'hada amran la'el, michte mitzla talinan v'chule.
Yeah, so Rashi plays, then he goes on, keep going, v'apel gav.
V'apel gav d'mashninan hachi d'chivya be'almahu.
What I'm saying, you know, don't get too upset about it because it's only dichuya bialma. Klomar
la'olam emalach k'rav chista svirelei. Aval Rav Kahana vada k'rav huna ka'amar lemifsal kamaita k'de ukminan la'el hilchata kavatei. V'hashuchi afilu behema achat tzarech livdo kasak in achar shchita v'im shachar harbe v'lo badak bintayim v'achar kach nimtei peguma.
Well, so why doesn't Rashi want to take it seriously? Instead, he prefers the second answer, the Gemara, because again, he thinks that Rav Chisda works much better if it's a Tliya. Correct? Okay, so that's the Ibai same in the Gemara.
Okay, Rav Chisda, Michte Mitzla Talenan, Mimai de be'etzem de mafreket de kamaita ifkim. Dilma be'etzem de mafreket de batraita ifkim.
That's, and Rashi thinks these aren't just two days in Rav Chisda. So this is, of course, the question, both in Rav Huna and in Rav Chisda, how, this is a huge debate in the Rishonim, how seriously for Rav Huna are we really choshe shemav or nifkam? You know, both in practice and in threshold legal concept. And how seriously for Rav Chisda is the tliya of a mifrakes, or is it just, you know, is a cheskas b'dika sasakin, or maisa, you know, is kosher achi vadalacha, and therefore we're always told the other way. Okay. Amalei Ravacha b'rei d'Rav Ravashi.
Amalei Ravacha b'rei d'Rav Ravashi. Rav Kahana matrich b'dikuta bein kol chada v'chada. Keman. K'rav Huna ulemipsal kamaita. Lo k'rav Chisda ulachshuri batraita.
Yeah.
Here
there's an interesting debate among the Rishonim. Again, I don't have time to get into it. And that is, what is this ihachi? And what is the what is the hava mean of bedikas chacham? How nachutz is that? Is that only according to Rav Huna, or is that any time? That's kind of what you know Rashi says. How does Rashi say?
Even
though it's after the fact, since it's for the sake of the of the effectiveness of the original shechita, right?
Yeah, right. Yehachi demishum ha debayi lemishchete kabadik have lebedika dekodem shechita v'tibayi chacham lahar lo et hasakin yafinan lekaman mi ushchat tem baze va'achal tem.
Yeah. So Rashi is the way Rashi understands it, we're expanding what constitutes the definition of bedika lifnei hashchita. It's l'shem lifnei hashchita, even though it's really lachar shchita, right? But it's din Rav Huna. Whereas the Rashba says that the ihachi refers to Rav Chisda, and his idea is not that there's a the Havamina wasn't that the only time you require Bedikas Chacham. Again, even in Rashi, we're stretching. For Rashi, it's Bedikas Chacham Biglal, you know, Hashchita HaRishona, or Lifnei Hashchita. But the Rashba says, no, even for Rav Chisda, if you really think that it's going to affect the kashrus of the animals going forward, there's no Yichus to Bedika Shal Lifnei Hashchita per se. It's any Bedika which facilitates kashrus abhema as a chalos bedika, which requires a chacham. Balamar actually says both, right? It's bein Rav Huna, bein Rav Chisda, because who says that this is a din of, you know, prior, it's a din in chalos bedika chashuva. This is also an interesting argument. Go ahead. What's the answer of the Gemara? Edecho ne'eman b'yisurim. Yehachim ikar nami lo.
All right, Yehachim ikar nami lo. Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan lo amru lahar tzakin lechacham ela mipnei kvodo shel chacham.
Although it might be a din of srara, etc. Okay, that's a gemara. So I want to get back to, we have very little time left. Okay, so this is just the different perspectives. So far we've discussed one idea. That is the idea of, you know, maisa b'safek, safek maisa, you know, a more formal issue about how to discriminate between or how to determine when you have multiple potential resolving chazakos, which one to choose from and how to keep them, you know, in balance. So towards the end of the last year, I was suggesting a second interpretation, which I also think fits in a lot of the same evidence, not all the same evidence. And that is the idea that there might be a distinction, right, between what I called a whether or a if, you know, question, as opposed to a when question. So let me elaborate on that just a little bit more. And I want to particularly talk about that in terms of chasar the Asai, as well as in Shmua Rechoka, Shmua Krova. I hope you were able to see that. The discussion of Shmua Rechoka and Krova, Suffolk Shmua Rechoka of Krova. You got those marmakomos with the Taz? Yeah? Okay, Natan's nodding.
Yoni. Avelashir. I didn't see it this year. I saw from the Avelashir.
Oh, you just learned from you're learning Hilchos Avelos.
Yeah, it just happens to work out.
Are you serious? Oh, but I gave it to Avram to give to you. No one got that? Safek Shmua Rekol Choka Safek Shmua Krova? Oh, okay. I'll do a brief survey there because it's just too good to leave out. It sounds like, okay, Natan's clued in. I guess Ashkachadik is clued in. Okay. So let's talk about this idea. So again, I think I don't want to spend more time than I need to on this, but let's just say it for the moment this way. So a typical chazaka, as the Gemara describes it on the Amud Beis, and Josh, if you have to leave, we'll understand. You have to make it up, but okay. So the typical chazaka, as the Gemara discusses on Yud Beis, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, is an absolute. You have an issue in time that needs clarification or resolution. There isn't typically there's no reis yet in a typical case, and the question is whether or not there can be a presumption. That the status quo ante, persists, that it endures, that it continues to be relevant. So nothing has changed, typically. Nothing has changed. The question is whether or not we continue, to rely, on what was. That's the idea of Chazaka. The Gemara says, how do you know such a thing exists? They talk about Negayim and so on. All sorts of different cases of Chazaka. That's what Chazaka, without having had the opportunity to do that sugya, but that's what chazaka is. The question is, what happens when we're dealing with a safek lemafreya? Or another way to say that is with a reyesa. In other words, where things have changed. So what I was trying to say last time, again, to make it shorter, hopefully, is there are still two possibilities. One way is to say that the paradigm of a regular classical chazaka is still chai v'kayim, even though the reality is that it has changed, right? But as long as we're not interested in post-change or known post-change, right, we're interested in some point in time, along the spectrum before known change. So maybe there's no difference, or if there is a difference, it's only a difference in that the question is more complicated because there are now more potential resolving mechanisms. Meaning, right, instead of saying, again, somebody's becheskas chai, we'll get to this in a second, ad shenoda lecha shehu meis. So that's what the Gemara says in Gittin, I might as well use that because that's really relevant to this whole Taz issue. So if you want to be Mekadesh or Megaresh, right, and you send a Shliach, so the assumption is that everybody is alive and well, right? again, if there are health issues, if somebody's a Goseis, that's a different story. But all things being equal, there's something called Cheskas Chai, that's Chazaka Dimi Ikara, and nothing has changed. However, the point is if things have changed, or let's take the mikvah case. So you measure the mikvah, it was Malaya, it had more than 40 sa. If you don't measure it until you measure it next, and you go in and do a tevila, let's say you never measure it, so that's the status quo ante. But if you measure it and it's now chaser, or if the person ends up dying, right, at some point in time. So now the question is, if you want to keep the typical model of chazaka, what you're saying is, what was the status of the individual? What was the status of the mikvah? Right? What was the status of the Sakin at the moment that is legally consequential. Okay? Namely, when Reuven, you know, went to the mikveh, what was the status of the mikveh at that point? When somebody was sent to Shliach, you know, to give the get, you know, was the person alive, you know, or not at that point? When the Shechita took place, was the Sakin, you know, Shlema at that point? So as long as you're picking out a point in time, even though now, so again, there's a Reisa, because Hare Chaser Hu Lefaneinu, Hare Pogrom Hu Lefaneinu, Hare Meis Hu Lefaneinu. That already weakens things. You can't, you know, but it doesn't weaken it, or if it weakens it maybe only quantitatively by saying, oh, there's a Reisa. You know, this is the status quo ante, but there's a reis. Or another way to look at it, and I do think that these different ways are very consequential for many machloksim, is instead of saying, oh, hareyesh chazaka v'yesh reisa, which is the way we sometimes formulate it in the Gemara, is to say, harey yesh chazaka demikara aval gam yesh, you know, chazaka dahashta. Instead of seeing as a reisa of the mikara, psychologically, when I say it that way, it sounds like there's more competition. Not that you've just weakened the first one, but now there are two, right? And now you have to figure out, you know, of those two, you know, which one is dominant. And even if one is dominant, does the other one, you know, still exist to play a role and sometimes to combine with other factors? Chazaka to Mikara, yeah, that's all powerful, but there's also Chazaka to Hashta, unless you think Chazaka to Hashta, you know, just wins, but mostly it doesn't seem that way. Well, we'll get to it. Okay. Anyways, so in terms of, you know, maybe weakening, yes, but you could still look at it that way. But of course, the fact that there's been a change, in fact, we know that now, or that there is this competing Chazaka or the Reis, et cetera, if you want to look at it. In theory, you might say that that renders the typical exercise of Chazaka to Mikara completely invalid. Because if the idea of Chazaka to Mikara is based on, you know, clinging to the reality that we know, you know, so maybe the fact that that reality no longer exists is something that is significant, even in terms of picking a point in the past, you know, where we didn't know that at that time it didn't exist. That's A. B, and this is a very important point, which I wish I could elaborate, but I don't have time right now. And that is that even if in theory, right, by picking a point in the past before we know that the change took place, right, you could reawaken, you know, you could invoke the regular din of Chazaka de Mikara, right? The question is, on a secondary level, whether you have the right to do that. What is the real Leidas HaSafek? Maybe you can only do that, not just because you choose to arbitrarily, but only if the halacha perceives that moment to be the right moment. What do I mean by that? Either in terms of the Makor HaSafek, as opposed to a Yisum, an application, or maybe in terms of a kind of an efficient, unified principle of how to ask the question. So for example, right, let's say along this spectrum, like a whole bunch of different things happened from the time that we knew the Chazaka de Mikara was intact to the moment of the Chazaka de Hashta, the Reisa. So the question isn't, you know, only to deal with one moment, but there are discrete questions about 100 moments or 1,000 or 3. It doesn't make a difference. So on one level, what you might say is, it doesn't matter. I can still choose to deal discreetly with each question and say, what was the status of the mikveh Wednesday? What was the status of the mikveh Thursday? Because 10 different people went to the mikveh in the interim, right? Or the same person went 3 different times over the course of the 2 years, you know, which are in question, you know, or no. Maybe we should say, whether it's about, and this, you might be mechalek, there might be, what are the factors that will go into determining this question, if this question indeed needs to be determined? that since instead of dealing with 3, 4, 5, 100 different questions, maybe we have to pick the halachic resolution that answers all questions efficiently, bevasachas. And that is not the question of what was the status of the mikvah on Tuesday or Thursday or this year or that year, but when did the transition take place? When did this go from being a kosher to a pasul mikvah? When? Not if at a particular time, but when along the spectrum. And of course, we have no presumption that we're going to be able to answer that in a definitive way, you know. But what we can do, what we are trying to do, is figure out whether or not we go basar meikara or basar hashta. In other words, whether we think it happened earlier or later. And as far as that is, in other words, we're trying to navigate not just between two different chazakos, chazaka de mikara and chazaka de hashta, but we're trying to navigate to figure out when it comes to the question of when, right, which of these determines. So again, does it depend on how many, how efficient, how many solutions to the same fundamental question you can propose? Or maybe it depends on how related those questions themselves are. Like maybe there's a difference between different people or the same person or different taharos, you know, et cetera. Oh. So what are the facts? If there indeed is such a difference, then we might be saying that safek lemafreya, or they call it tarti lereyasa, or chazaka sheyesh bo reyasa of a certain type, or maybe in combination, and therefore you can't just dismiss it, is qualitatively a different kind of a question. There, the question is not, you know, as they say, yes or no, but when. And when it comes to when questions, we just treat them differently. So there might be different factors that go into that. And there also might be different factors, you know, that dictate that. So, for example, let's take the question of chaser, you know, ve'asoi. That's a very strange, the Gemara has this idea in Nida and elsewhere when that Shakunatari appears. And on the surface, we just don't even know, you know, why that is significant, why that is consequential on two levels, right? On the technical level of, you know, does it require process? Do we care before you get to the, is it all bevasachas? You know, chaser vasai implies that this is a something that is impending, something you can anticipate before its time, at least in retrospect. And this, of course, is the legal issue. You know, like, just what is that? What technically determines that? And when do we care about it? Both the process itself and the halachas, let's say, you know, view or stature of it. I'll explain what I mean. And I think that I mean that in two senses. And I'll explain in just a minute. So there's some technical questions governing chaser vasai. The Gemara says it about a mikvah, right? I would say like this. In the case of mikvah, and even then, well, before we get to that, the Gemara had it as a havamina in its Shakavataria in Nida. You couldn't have said, we said already a couple of days ago, you could have said that it didn't make the final cut in terms of the halakha. The chiddush of the Balei Tosis, in quoting it, some do, some don't, is that it remains a factor. It's a rehabilitated factor, you know, in distinguishing different tartilareuses, et cetera. Okay. But what's it all about? So if the classic case is mikvah, you could say about a mikvah several things. Number one, water loss is predictable. Number two, it's mimela. And it goes with a certain pattern if you know, I guess, the circumstances. All that, it makes it a classic chaser vasai. The only problem you would wonder about it is, like, who cares? I mean, is there a din of a mikvah shel 50 or 60 or even a mikvah of 40 plus, or is this something called a mikvah of 40 as a chalos? But another, that's a question. And that's something that the Chacham Tzvi in his Tshuva and Siman Gimel raises about a mikvah. There again, he's trying to explain the Rishonim and those who say, like, suffek nega, like the nega, you know, it'll get less than than it needs to be, the gris or whatever it is. So and that's going to be bevasachas as opposed to chaser basoi. So the Chacham Tzvi says, okay, so you have a mikvah. You know, we don't really care if it goes from 100 to 41. There's no chalos in that. What we care about is when it dips below 40, and that's bevasachas. At some point, it dips below 40. Why do we care about, you know, the plus part? But maybe we do, right? And maybe because it's a predictive, because it's mimela, because it's inevitable, because it goes in a certain pattern. Maybe also we're always worried about the mikvah. When it comes to mikvah, at least the chalos of mikvah is something that the halacha like recognizes as an institution. You have to build a mikvah, you have to build a beis medrash and a beis hakneses and a mikvah. Okay, but the point is that the mikvah has all sorts of dinim. Mikvah is a halachic chalos. So maybe its status, it's getting close to being possible, it's getting closer to being possible. It's, practically a puzzle, maybe charting its course and its history, chaser vasoi, chaser vasoi, chaser vasoi, impending, doom of the mikvah going under the standards is a category. Is that true about a nega? Maybe it is. Is that true about a sakin? Ah. So firmly the nega its deterioration is probably as a process, as being inevitable, as being something that is steady if you know the rules. I'm not sure that is the case. That's one of the things Chacham Tzvi discusses. But let's take sakin. Right, artosis is mechalik between the sakin and mayim. There's a debate in the Taurus Habayis, the Rajba. The Ra'ah says that a sakin will deteriorate on its own. And the Rajba says he's just practically wrong. He says, Mechate, so you leave a knife alone, you put it in a drawer, it's going to deteriorate? So the Rajba says he's just wrong. Okay, maybe the Ra'ah didn't mean it that way, but the Rajba says, yeah, but if you use it all the time, it'll deteriorate. So again, comparing the sakin to the nega and the mikvah is an interesting question, right? It's not mimela that it just happens, through a natural process, presumably. Is it even if you're going to use it X amount of times, is that predictive? Or does it matter how each time how much pressure you put on it, right? Either way, it's not, you could keep it forever if you don't do too much with it. And if you happen to do more with it, meaning if chaser vasoi is pragmatic, it's one thing, but from a legal point of view, in terms of being mimela, in terms of being anticipatory, therefore impending even before its time, already undermining like the chazaka de mi'ikar, if that's really what we care about, not just how likely, right? You certainly could be mechalek. Even in terms of the last question, which I raised, which I really believe in, and that is the mikvah is a chalos, hilchati. Right? The nega could be also. Because the nega has rules. Is the sakin shel shchita a chalos? Does that depend on the topic that we discussed, whether you need a kind of a roi leklishares? How much it's brought from the world of shchita, like the Rambam and the Bach and the things that we discussed earlier in the year? Or is it just an instrument? Anything will do. You just got to make sure not to do an act of treifa. In which case, maybe chaser vasoi, the idea that of a process, predictive process, mimela process, a process in something which halachically matters, and therefore there's like neon signs, about it. It's getting worse. It's getting better. It's and so on and so forth. Maybe these things matter. So chaser vasoi, the Rajba, Tosis, the Chacham Tzvi, all these different, perspectives. Both the, technically, what constitutes it, especially halachically, are very critical. Now, previously, I was suggesting that the factor of chaser v'asai could be a factor in maisa b'safek or safek maisa, and I totally stand by that. But I think it's an even more compelling factor according to the perspective that I'm trying to share now, and that is this idea that there's a difference between, we'll call it safek l'mafreya, or safek when you're trying to, you know, figure out sooner or later, rather than a safek where you pick a point in time and say yes or no at that moment. It could be that the factor of chaser v'asai is exactly what tells you that you're dealing with a when question rather than with an if question. Because that's what chaser v'asai is. It says when you're dealing with a mikvah, right, al pi din, since it is omed to deteriorate, again, and which of the, where do you draw the line in terms of the issues that I just spoke of? In other words, in a process way, in an integrated way, in a predictive way, you know, as opposed to, that still remains a question. You know, but obviously some of these are more telling and more suggestive, you know, for certain things than other. But either way, chaser v'asai, as a way of saying, well, this is a process, and therefore picking a moment is not fair. It's always omed lehischaser. Rather, choosing between chazaka de mikar and chazaka de hashta, that is the key. And that, I think, makes a great deal of sense. Other factors as well. For example, davar ha'omed lehishtanos. You could say that that's what chaser v'asai is. It might be more than that, right? But a davar, you have a chazaka de mikar ha'omed lehishtanos, you know, that is, let's say, even before the reyasa. Maybe you need both. Or a combination of reyasa and chazaka asui lishtanos. That's an interesting question. Right? Chazaka with a reyasa haruya lishtanos alone, even though it hasn't happened yet? Or what if you have both? Like nisa. Or nida. Right? So you could say that that is a factor, you know, again, that just weakens, you know, the chazaka in question. But possibly, especially in combination, you might say that that is what determines the difference between an if safek and an if yes or no resolution, as opposed to a when safek, chazaka de mikar, chazaka de hashta resolution. So with that in mind, I guess we'll have to finish with this because it is getting late. I thought we'd just discuss very briefly the issue of Shmua Rechoka and Shmua Krova. Now, again, I apologize for I didn't give him the pratim. I told him just to look up the Taz. I didn't remember. But either way, it's something worth discussing briefly. So, Natan, it sounds like you have a little bit of background here. What's the din of Shmua Rechoka and Shmua Krova? And I'll just read you a little bit from the...
Yeah, within 30 days of Avelos, if you hear that a Karov died, you have a full Avelos. But if you hear after 30 days from, well, the Misa or the Krua, that's kind of the question, after a 30-day period, then there's not a full Avelos. There's just a one-day mini Avelos.
Yeah, and maybe even less than a day, maybe just
a mix of
a whole big to-do. So that's the difference. That's the din of Shmua Krova and Shmua Rechoka. So the question that the post dealt with is, let's say you have a safek Shmua Rechoka, Shmua Krova. Okay, how could you have a safek Shmua Rechoka, Shmua Krova? Very, very simple. You know that the relative, the Karov, died, sadly, right? But you don't know when he died. So now you heard that there's a Misa, but you don't know whether it was, you know, Lifnei Shlosh Yom, in which case it's a Shmua Rechoka, which demands very little, just a niug sha'achas of avelus, miktas ayom kikulo, right? Or it happened within 30 days, in which case you have a full-blown niug of avelus. So it's safek shmua rechoka, safek shmua krova. So this is a question that l'chura touches on two issues. One issue that it touches on, certainly, is the question of Safek Avelos, the mitzvah Safek Avelos. Normally we say Safek Avel is Lahakel. I think I mentioned it earlier this year because it came up that there's a debate in the Rishonim, whether that is separate from Anan. So is that just, at least for many, that Safek Avel Lahakel is separate from that? Will it apply even to the Doraisa Dinim of Avel? That's one issue. Or even if it's only in the Drabanan Dinim, but maybe still it's stronger than or different than the regular din of Safek Lahakel. Ramban in Torah Adam has an unbelievable line, suggestion, in which he says that, Safek affects the Avel itself. And therefore, we've seen this phenomenon in other contexts, that, Avel has to be din vadai for the Agmas Nefesh and for the sense of tsar and so on, to fully apply. Either way, one part of this question is Safek Avel, Lahakel, or Lahachmir, when you're choosing between a full, let's say, Avelos and a partial Avelos. That's also a question, whether that din, just says yes or no, or says, choose between types, of Avelos. And this is an issue, the Maram Rutenberg has a famous line, which Taz quotes here and others quote as well, and that is that one of the reasons that you say Safek Avel Lekula, separate from Safek Drabanan Lekula, and maybe separate from some other factor like the Ramban or some other alternative, is that, as in many areas of halacha, some kulas are kulas she'asa the dechumra. So for example, on Shabbos, right, if you're knowing Avelus, then, you have Dvarim Shebetzina, and that takes away from Oneg Shabbos. The truth is that wouldn't be an issue. They don't mention it here for some reason. Not sure why. But that shouldn't be an issue in Shmuah, Safek Shmuah Krova, Safek, it is, I guess, somewhat. Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. So that's one issue. The second issue, and the issue which is relevant to us, is the question of Chazaka Demi Kara. Right, obviously. And, but there's a Reyes Alefanenu, because now we know that he died, but we don't know whether he died earlier or later. So there's a clash between, the Chazaka de Mikara and the Reyes, or the Chazaka de Mikara and the Chazaka de Hashta, depending on how you want to put it. Right? And the question then is, and it is a kind of Safek Lamafreya, in the sense that, what's important to us to figure out is when he died. Now, here again, there's also a moment which is interesting, and that could be a Shmua Krova, Shmua Rechoka issue, and that is that, Shloshim Yom is a halachically significant point, meaning unlike some other Safek Lamafreyas, where, the point that you may want to pick to ask your what, based on my mahalach, your what question is somewhat arbitrary. In other words, what was the status of the mikvah on Tuesday? What was the status of mikvah, 2 years and 4 days and 3 hours, into from the last check, and also 6 years, and 2 days and 1 hour, it's just totally arbitrary. I mean, not arbitrary because it's kovei legabe, the halachic issues. But in the case of Avelus, right, there is a particular moment which will be kovea everything. And that is, what was the status 30 days ago of this individual? Does that matter? Right? So either way, this is a massive debate among the poskim. So the Shach, for example, in Sif Katan Aleph, I'm sorry, this Shin Tzadi Zion, you would have thought that it would be in Tuf Beis, which is Shmuel Rechoka, Shmuel Karova, but it isn't. It's here. Dine Eidus Linhoge Avelus Alpiyim. So the question is, let's say you have some sort of conflict in the Eidus, some suffix about as a result of the Eidus. That's how it comes up. Anyway, so the Shach, Sazer Klal, the Shach Sivkat Nalif quotes this discussion, Kosavoda Bach, here's where the Taz disagrees with his father-in-law, but Kosavoda Bach, that Hecha Shekosali Echad, Shemes Krovo, the Ika Safek Imhu Toklamid Yom, Chayv Lisabel. Meaning Safek Shmua Rechoka Safek Shmua Krova, the guy just wrote that he died. He didn't say when. You're a Machmir. The Kol Kamed de Matzinon Le'uk Me'achas Kasei Mukminon, Arminan Hashtem Mikarov Meis. I'm just reading through the Shach, but this is what the Bach says. We say Mukminon Achas Kaso, and he was alive as long as we know that he, as long as we don't know to the contrary. And therefore, he died more recently. For Shmua Karova, not Shmua Rechoka. The Chena B'Tshuvas Mari Ben Leib. Then he has an interesting, you know, qualification. Miyu Hechashu Ksav Yad Shel Chacham Arminu Mestam Al Achar Lamed Yom Hu Demisa De'ef Shoyesh Yagia Ksav Liyado Tok Lamed Le'yekosev Stam Al Hayim Mevayer. Can you be medayik for the fact that he doesn't, in other words, there's a raya from the fact that he doesn't say one way or another? He would have been explicit, by the way, you know, this took place, this is within 30 days. So I guess the silence implies that it's a Shmua Rechoka. That's a separate point. That's an additional raya. But otherwise, we would be machmir based on ukminan, a chazaka, because chazaka and bikara always beats out a chazaka to hashta. You have a chazaka with a reyasa. You don't, it's no tartal reyasa here. Right? There's only Chadal Reyesa. That should be the law. He says, V'chein Kosav Habach, V'chein Kosav B'tshuv Samara Mintz, Tzorech L'Isabel Mitam D'Mukmin L'Achaz Kaso, right? Etc. Okay, then the question is, what would happen if he treated it as a Shmua Rechoka, right? And then he found out it was a Shmua Krova. Would he be obligated to do the Avelis again? That's a separate debate. And there was an incorrect girsa in the Shach. And he, you know, he very agrees with the Taz. And Nekudas HaKesef, he says, correct the girsa. You know, whether you have to be machmir or not. That it appears as one way in the Shach. And then he corrected it in the Nekudas HaKesef. But that's not our topic. That's Natan's topic, but it's not our topic. Very important issue. So the Taz disagrees. It's a massive Taz. Again, I wonder, you wonder whether it isn't Lashitaso of the other Tazes that we've seen, where in general he is very machmir for these reyesas. Tartal reyesa, he expands, as we've seen. And here it's only Chadal reyesa, but he expands it as well. Einam Isabel, first of all, it's interesting. When the Shulchan Aruch says, Shnayim Omrim Meis, or Shnayim Omrim Lo Meis, that's not Safek, you know, Shmua Krova, Shmua Rechoka. That's just the din in its own right. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Einam Isabel. So it's interesting that the Shach says, to Mekmina Naches Kase, Dechai. Whereas the Taz says, this is just an interesting point, that it's Midin Holchen Be'eva Lachar, you know, Lahakel. So that's just interesting. Sivkat and Bey. Hatam Dekimit Sveko Azlinu Ba'Lahakel. Then he says, Kasa Mara Mintz, the same one that is called Simon Sadi Hay, then Misha Shama Shemes Lomes, Veniodem Toklamet Alo, Imchaiv Lizabel, the Herich, right? Kimde Kilubishas Binyan Avelus, Kimde Sveka Drabanon. Okay, he's saying it's because of something Drabanon. You have to pick up on these. The Havi Sham Hilchosmachos, the Maram, who said, Ein Lahakmer Bavelus Misafek, because of the principle, the Chumr Dasi the De Kula, because of Shabbos and Dvarim Shel Tzina, which I mentioned before. Also, it's Mevatel Talmud Torah during the week. Achmi Tam Chazaka, he says, Niralo Lahachmir. Interesting. He said you should be Mekel Mitzad Hochem Be, I'm sorry, Mitzad Hochem Be'eva Lachar Lahakel, right? There, you should be Mekel, sorry, but you should be Machmir, says the Mar Mitz, based on the principle of Chazaka, Mukmina Nacheskas Chai, and the assumption that this all took place later. What's that based on? The Tam Perakal Aget, the Gemara that I mentioned before, Chavches, Hamevi Get Veinicho Zake No Chola, no sala becheskas shehu chai, shehu kayim. The heavy har bedinim shahochem vasar chazaka. I mean, chazaka de mikar versus chazaka de hashta, we always go by chazaka de mikar. Al ken yesh lomar hamid meis al chazkaso, hashta hu de meis, ul hichlit apsak. He's not sure the maram, but chuvas mari belay, pasak l'chiyuv, v'chein pasak mori chami, right, the Bach. But then the Taz, who's very independent, as we know, says, Lufi ani yazdaiti lo nirachein. He thinks it's wrong. Mikoch rayos bruros. And then he goes on to bring three rayos. Okay, I'm not going to go into them. Gemaras in Psachim, Anita, etc. To prove from these three Gemaras that, in fact, you go basar chazaka to hashta, not basar chazaka to mikara. I am skipping a little bit. The kasha, my lo nema de hashta hu denerag. One second. So why val korcha letar etanu tlosa kusha salimos to ad kan lo amirin beper kalaget? How do you explain the Gemara in Gittin? Timukminen lo beches kaskai ela kosha le yadanu adayin shemes. The Gemara in Gittin is a case where there's no reyesa. I mean, you leave somebody who's older or maybe even ill, but it's not a goseis, and you go and you do the shlichus beches kashu hu chai. There's no chazaka da hashta. There's no reyesa. Mash enkin b'hanach klas mili, the rise that he brings, hashta vade meis, shapar minin kvar haya meis, ukemash mos ha-shanatosis b'psachim. Vein lahakshos maishnor mishar chazakos, shor minin chazaka afilu b'kai gavne, kagon mikva, says, okay, that's fine and good to explain the Gemara in Gittin, there's no reyesa. But even cases where there is a reyesa, like mikva, mikva shenimdad v'nimsa chaser, we go basar mikara, unless it's tartil reyesa, right? Kigon mikva, the name of hashta hu dechaser. Why not say, you know, that it was chaser earlier? We don't say that unless it's tartil reyesa. V'chein simin pealef gabi gvinos shenasa mechalav. So here's where he comes up with his big chiddush. Nirla niyazdaiti lomar the shiny b'misa the kol chai omed lamus v'hu muad l'kach b'li safek al kein shaper amin and devade calls man shena mevur shemes amin adayin chai avol kashim mevur shemes oz la hachazaka right le'inyan shenomar the hashta hu shemes the other rab amin and shemikara yemes kibin shomad l'kach usvara zos shomarnu shomed l'kach. Matino also in other contexts, in Turi, because in the case of Shtar, which is Omed Lepiron, I think that could be different, but okay. The Kivin shows Zachino is a name, Agam Khan. The Ein Chayv Lisabo Mikoch Safek Machmas Achazaka. The Ein Chalomer Hashtahu Deme Stavka. Al Dvarim Elus Samachti Atzmi Upasakti Alach Lamaisa. She Ein Chayv Avelus. Biprat Achar Yisoda Gadol Shochim Babla Hakel. Tvein Bishar Mili Drabanon. Etc. Then he goes on to talk about the second case, like what happens if you made a mistake. You thought it was a Shmua Rechoka, but it ended up being a Shmua Krova. Does he have to be Mesabel even after the Shloshim Yom is already up? That's an interesting question. Okay, so what comes out is that the Taz has a big, big Yisod, that a Chazaka with a Reyesa Omedes Lishtanos. Some of the poskim say even if it's not Omedes Lishtanos, even if it's not a reyesa, maybe if it's omedes lishtanos, he would say it. Okay. Azlina basar chazaka to hashta v'loch basar chazaka to mikar. The Shach disagrees in the Nekudas HaKasef. He quotes the Taz. Herich lochiach, etc. Yesh litchos kol rayosav. Every one of the rayos, he thinks, either has an extra chazaka or is a particular moment, very interesting, but not for now. In the end, Yesh L'chalik B'kol Hanach B'gavna Achrini, he says, whatever I wrote to B'miyashiv, his rayas, I could have added to them, there are even additional yeshuvim. But he agrees with him on the second point. Okay, that's the Shach. There's a big debate among the poskim, whether how to paskin. Most of the original thought was that most paskin like the Shach and are machmir, like the Bach and the Shach and so on. If you look at the Stechemed, who has massive treatment of Dini Avelos, so in Chelek Hay, he points out that a lot of the Achronim actually agree with the Taz Lahakel, and he himself agrees with the Taz Lahakel. So Halach L'maisa, so this is a very relevant and a very interesting argument. The Chacham Tzvi in Siman Gimel discusses this Taz. He says, I agree with the Taz, but not mitamei. I agree with the Taz, and the Chacham Tzvi came up with a new idea. Anybody get a chance to see that? I'm pretty sure I gave that. Binyamin, anybody? Aaron? Zach? Kyle? No one saw the Chacham Tzvi? Chacham Tzvi came up with a new idea. I'm going to stop in like one more minute or 5 more minutes. In Siman Gimel, he quotes this Taz. Me'ata nevar shedatenu l'inyan din avelus imeshon l'liso kedas harav balataz l'kula nir l'ani azdaiti t'halacha kevasei ela shebesha'avru harbe yoser milamed yom mishosh yodea shahi bevadai chai oz bevadai patr milisabel avalim ona achas o pachos mimenu odef alamed yom oz misafek patr milisabel. Basically, the Taz comes up with the following idea. Basically, the Taz came up with the idea that there's something called a chazaka, right, hasmucha l'safek, as opposed to a chazaka she'ena smucha l'safek. He basically has this, how he interprets the Gemara Nida, the prince is walking in the night, and he falls over, a body, he trips, he's not sure if the guy is sleeping, or he died. So the next morning, you find out that he's dead. Sorry, but you don't know when he tripped over him whether he was alive, but maybe ill or sleeping, or he was already dead. So the Taz says, in his opinion, it depends on when the last time you saw the guy alive and whether it was samuch l'safek or not. The Nor Rabbi Yehuda in Atshuva says he doesn't know where the Taz, he doesn't understand this klal of the Taz. He says, there's a concept of chazaka de mikara. Chazaka de Mikara is Koveya. That's what a chazaka is. There's no din that the chazaka de Mikara has to be smucha l'safek. Right? Probably the Taz would answer at least the many questions of the Nor Rabbi Yehuda. Does the Taz think that you need a chazaka smucha l'safek always? Or only when there's a reyesa? Or a meis lefaneinu? I mean, when there's a chazaka de hashta and it's not a chazaka smucha. Either way, I don't want to get too bogged down. I'm just going to, wrap it up. So basically what I'm suggesting is there are two ways to understand all these discussions. Exactly, in the pattern that we've been discussing before. One way is there are a lot of relevant chazakos, right? There's an art, the halacha has rules. They're trying to figure out which ones take priority, how they work in combination, which one is stronger, which one is weaker. If that's the case, a lot of factors can go into the mix. For example, Tosas's view, right, that the quality of the reyesa, is koveya for tar to l'reyesa. Like Shibrat's almost kolayom, that tliya, as opposed to, that changes sak and pagu. Assuming he doesn't hold like the ra'ah, that it's like a vadai, and it's like nevda. Right? They're in the latest aside, but it's a strong clear. Strong clear, weak clear. Okay. Meaning the strength of the reyesa, the strength of the chazaka da hashta, the weakness of the chazaka da mikara. So something's only shtanos, that weakens it. It strengthens the reyesa or the hashta. If something is, obviously a reyesa itself, if something is a chazaka she'ena smucha l'safek, so that weakens it and strengthens the Chazaka Dahashta, you know, the Reyesa, etc. That's the one way to look at all these things. So we're just trying to apply, let's say, or to assign values in terms of effectiveness, you know, which will determine how strong these weapons are or and how relevant they are if you have to decide which is the main or the most relevant one. You know, so the more compelling one is the most relevant. It's not even a question of combining necessarily, but of figuring out, you know, all things being equal, which is the right one. Just like, let's say, you know, in the Tshuva Labach or whatever, he said, oh, but if you write it, he writes a big Saviad, and then we can be medayik by what he doesn't say, you know, and so on and so forth. That's like a, that's a separate Ruba Delesa Kaman, right? So too, the we're evaluating, you know, what's the best Chazaka to pick or the combinations, etc. However, what I'm suggesting is, and maybe that's not the idea, that all these factors go into determining which type of chazaka you are applying. Are you applying the chazaka of chazaka de mikar in its classical way, like the Gemara's, the next Gemara's, you don't base to you base on an aleph? Chazaka that there is no shinui. Aye, we know it's nishtana lefaneinu, it's meis lefaneinu. There's a reyesa, there's a chazaka de hashta. The answer is no. We're picking earlier moments, and as far as they are concerned, you know, what ended up happening is less relevant or irrelevant. And we could mostly, maybe in a weaker way, maybe even in a full way, apply chazaka to mikar. Or no, we don't have the right to do that, because that's not the halachic question, that's not the efficient way, that's not the halachic moment, whatever the reason. Or because this mix of chazakos that we are facing or that we are encountering lend themselves more to the question, you know, when did the change take place than whether the change took place at a particular moment. And therefore, it's a chazaka, you know, the hashta issue if the you have the right combinations. So then, oh, chazaka, asuya leishtanos, you know, chaser va'asai, chazaka, you know, hasmucha lesafek. These are all factors that go in to determining A, that it is a when question rather than a whether question, W-H-E, you know, T-H-E-R, not the weather. And that with regard to that, the chazaka dahashta in some cases, or the combination of chazaka dahashta and other things, may be more formidable. In which case, the question as a different question is treated differently. And maybe that's the idea behind some of these issues in Shmua Rechoka, as well as another thing. So again, we don't have time, but the Sugya and Kiddushin Daf Ayin Tes, very critical, Tosfos Ritz take this idea of Chazaka Smucha, by the way, Le Safek, we have echoes in the Ramban. The Ramban said something similar in Rav Mitzvah Netzah Shchita Mumchenhein, when he talked about when the Sakin was Nivdak being a factor. If you recall in that, you know, that's an important issue. And Chazaka, you know, Smucha le Safek then, you know, has other echoes to it as well. And I said Tosis Rid in Kiddushin, the Fayin Tes, you know, suggests that that is a factor in distinguishing between the Chatzitza case and the Sakin case. When did you do the bedikah on the sakin, and when, you know, did you check that you didn't have a chatzitza in the tefillah b'mikvah? So these ideas, you know, exist in earlier makoros as well, and the question is how to understand them. Okay, and then finally, just one other word. Again, there's so much more to talk about, but I need to do those sugyas to complete the picture. But you know, kind of reinvested in a lot of the ideas, it would be easier, you know, just to, you know, from here to understand them and to integrate them. But just to add one other ha'ara, you know, and that is, again, this is the next sugya is the sugya of chazaka and the relationship between chazaka and rov, and rubidisa come on and rubidlaisa come on, the 2 days in Rashi, etc. But a lot of the interplay between rov and chazaka and different types of rov or different types of chazaka also are implied by the Rishonim's discussion of the relationship between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, you know, on the one hand, and the requirement of Bedika in particular, compared with Rov Mitzui Neitzah Shchita Mumchenheim, Efshel Avarer, Tzorach Avarer. So towards the beginning of the year, when we talked about this topic, we already noted this, I mean, the way that the Ramban, for example, in Mechamos, talks about Rav Huna and Rav Chisda and Sakin and Bedika Sasakin as being like a paradigmatic example of Efshel Avarer, Tzorach Avarer. But I think we also noted at the time that the Rishonim would disagree. There's a major debate in the Rishonim here about the need for Bedika Sasakin and whether or not it's equal, better, or worse, for example, than the preferred Bedikas HaSimonim, which is an Efshel Avarer, Tzorach Avarer question. For example, the Rambam doesn't deal with these in the same place. The Rambam sounds in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shechita like the requirement of Bedika is a very fundamental one, right? Other Rishonim, like the Rajba, think that the Sakin being Becheska's Baduk is very formidable, and the Bedika is far less significant. So I think there's like actually two opposite views, the Rajba and the Rambam, in terms of the role of Bedika in general. But whether or not, in plugging this into the question of Efshel Avarer, Tzorach Avarer, number one, Bedika Sasakin, it's role in the Shechita process. Cheska, Sakin, Baduk, those are things that play a different, very important role. But another thing that plays an important role, and this is the food for thought part, is whether or not we could be Mechalek in general in Efshar Levarer between Chazaka and Rov. Just as there are differences in other issues. I mean, on one end, we say Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif. Many people cite that to demonstrate that Rov is always stronger than Chazaka. At the same time, we know that it isn't always the case. And the Rishonim themselves have to contend with that, including maybe in the issue of Efshel Levarer, Tzorach Levarer. Because it could be that when you have a Rov, to use the language of the Rif on this issue, then the Rov is Mevarer, that the Chazaka is irrelevant. But where you have a Rov and a Chazaka, both Chai V'Kayim, weighing in on the resolution of a particular case, it's possible that Chazaka, you know, is stronger. And it's possible that therefore Ein Tzorach Levarer. It's possible that Chazaka doesn't allow for its miut in the same way that Rov does, especially certain types of miut. So the question of Efshel Avarer, Tzorach Levarer in Rov and in Chazaka, and the question of Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif, and the relative strengths of Rov and Chazaka, you know, vis-a-vis other things, like interpretation of Matirin and Cheskas Iser, you know, etc., is a huge topic to also engage. And I hope some other time to be able to do it. But again, if you see everything in terms of, you know, power, you know, strong and weak, then you know, then Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif definitely, you know, is a foundation to assume that that hierarchy, at least default, unless you can explain otherwise, applies to other dinim too, both in the clash between as well as in the dinim that apply in parallel to both Rov separately and Chazaka separately, but there should be that hierarchy. Just like we had that with regard to the question of Svek Sveika, right? Comparing four different, but it's more than that, right? Rov, Chazaka, Svek Sveika, Sveika Drabanan Lekula. But as we know, there's more than one type of Rov, right? Depending on, you know, the miut is within the Rov, the miut is outside the Rov, the miut matsui, mitchena matsui. There's more than one type of Rov in another sense too, Rubidisa Kaman, Rubidalesa Kaman. And there's more than one type of Chazaka, as we've just discussed. Chazaka smucha le'safek, Chazaka demi kara, Chazaka with a reyesa but still wins, you know, Chazaka asuya le'ishtanos. So in assessing these four, you know, Svek Sveika, Chazaka, Rov, Sveika Drabanan, right, it becomes a more complicated question, but at least that the foundation, you know, to make this analysis, you know, should be there. And there's a Shas Kol Torah Kula type of question. Okay, it's necessary for us to conclude. So I just want to wish everybody a good summer and a healthy summer. Look forward to seeing everybody. Again, we'll try to make times, I'll do it through Avram, that, you know, people can call if they choose. People have anyway been, but just to keep in touch. And Natan suggested that we do a Hashkafa Shir once a week. I don't know if that's, is there a interest in that?
I think there's an interest, yeah.
Okay. So let me try to figure out, you know, the right time for it. But we'll try to do that, you know, as well. It's a good way to keep, you know, to keep in touch. And again, just to encourage you, there's so much more, obviously, Chulin's Mass and Masechta, but even in the, you know, I would do next, you know, the Yud to Yud Beis. But, you know, we've done a little bit of other parts of the first parak, but the first two Prakim and Shechit are amazing, and, you know, the rest of the Masechta is too. So definitely enough to keep you busy over the summer or whatever other limud that you're involved in. But, you know, everybody should have a productive and, as I say, a safe and healthy summer. And we look forward to seeing you, hopefully in person. You know, if in the beginning, maybe, you know, in these little boxes, we'll do that too. But we'll try to keep, in the summer, we'll try to do something once a week, you know, shorter, but something. Good. So Kol Tov, and everybody enjoy a wonderful summer. And again, Mazel Tov to Josh, who stuck it out the whole time. You know, they're probably coming to take him away for pictures or something. You know, looks like you're ready for pictures, right? The blue shirt.
We're very ready. We're very ready. Everyone's very ready.
What?
Everyone's very ready.
Yeah. Okay. But we look forward to seeing you later. Okay. B'Shah Tova.
Mazel Tov. Yeah.